I've been thinking a lot about this theme of loneliness and isolation and times in life when you feel alone or maybe feel a bit disconnected. And it's an awful feeling, but it's one that I think we all know, don't we? In one way or another, in a variety of situations, because it's just part of being human. And today, what we're going to look at for the message is this little passage in the gospel. It's this little window into Jesus' life on earth where he meets and he helps a whole bunch of people who probably felt really lonely, isolated, and maybe even a bit hopeless. And it's in the Gospel of Mark 1, 29 to 39. Now, when I'm reading Mark, I like to get in the headspace by kind of thinking of it as the gospel version of an action movie, a little bit. Like picture a Mission Impossible or maybe a Transformers movie, whatever your flavor is. None of this waffly slow motion introduction, none of this character intros or poetry like we might see in some of the other gospels. No, Mark is like, bam, here's Jesus, and bam, here's Jesus doing a thing, and then bam, Jesus is off doing the other thing. And he's just all business, and it's great. He gets through a lot in a short amount of time. And if you don't believe me in my take on this, just have a Google of how many times Mark uses the term immediately in his gospel. So, anyway, that's where we are. Mark has just recounted this story of John the Baptist, who is, surprise, baptizing people. And Jesus comes down to the water and he asks if he can also be baptized. And when he does, there's this very dramatic cinematic scene where a dove comes down from the heavens and a voice booms out of nowhere saying, "This is my son who I love and with whom I am well pleased." And then after this pretty dramatic introduction of our hero Jesus, Mark starts to recount Jesus going about the main work and ministry of his life, traveling, preaching, and healing. And right at the start of his gospel, Mark 1, 29, he tells us this story, which I'm going to read from the Message version. Directly on leaving the meeting place, which was the synagogue, they came to Simon and Andrew's house, accompanied by James and John. Simon's mother-in-law was sick in bed, burning up with fever. They told Jesus. He went to her, took her hand and raised her up. No sooner had the fever left her than she was fixing dinner for them. That evening, after the sun was down, they brought the sick and evil-afflicted people to him. The whole city lined up at his door, and he cured their sick bodies and tormented spirits. Because the demons knew his true identity, he didn't let them say a word. While it was still night, way before dawn, Jesus got up and went out to a secluded spot and prayed. Simon and those with him went looking for him. They found him and said, "Everybody's looking for you." And Jesus said, "Let's go to the rest of the villages so I can preach there also. This is why I've come." And he went to their meeting places all through Galilee, preaching and throwing out demons. Now, if you've ever heard any Bible stories before, this probably sounds like a stock Jesus Bible story, doesn't it? Jesus hanging out with his disciples, Jesus healing people, Jesus preaching, Jesus praying, Jesus going to another town and doing it all over again. Yeah. Yes, but also, yes. In these few paragraphs, we get such an amazing glimpse of who our God is. And learning and knowing and growing in understanding of who God is the work of our Christian life and our Christian journey. This passage, after some of our GCI Ignite sessions, I was thinking about a story that Peter Adelery from the WA Church told us. He told us this great story from his own life, and he described an experience and he used the phrase, "That's a Jesus thing." And he was talking about an act or something that was just so quintessentially Jesus, that you go, "That's a Jesus thing. That couldn't be anything else." Jesus, the carer. Jesus, the healer. Jesus, the good news bringer. Jesus, the friend to the lonely and lost. I don't know what you think of when you hear, "That's a Jesus thing," but to me, this passage is such a Jesus thing. So let's look at it again for a few minutes and let's meet God again through the wonder of this passage and let him just reintroduce himself to us maybe through the text. And I want you to try, if you can, to imagine what it might have actually felt like for these people in the story, these unnamed people, to have encountered Jesus, to have met him. Maybe you can imagine that you're in bed sick. Remember the last time you were really crook, just burning up, feverish, but also really cold in that awful way, not able to think straight, just feeling rotten and not sure if you would ever feel good again. And then imagine a presence in your room, someone coming in that you don't know, and then someone taking your hand, and in an instant, relief. The fever's gone. Your mind is clear. You have energy again, so much energy that you want to jump up out of bed and just cook up a feast for your whole family. Or maybe imagine that you're in a really dark place. I don't know what demon possession would feel like, and it's certainly not something that we would commonly experience in our culture the way it's written about in the Bible stories from Jesus' day. But in our culture, in our time, we do know a lot about what it feels like to be really depressed, anxious, addicted, feeling just like you're not in control of your own life, feeling maybe separated from the world because of what's going on inside your head. That's a yucky feeling. But imagine then a warm hand on your shoulder and a powerful something within you, and then the doors of your mind opening and sunlight streaming in and darkness flooding out because it's been replaced by a much greater power. Something full of love and grace and healing has come to fill you up instead, and you blink and you see the world in color again and you're free. I don't know what it was like for these people, but I wonder what it was like for them to encounter Jesus. The sick, the disabled, the mentally ill, the fearful, the desperate. And I wonder if, even apart from the relief of their physical healing or their mental healing, I wonder if they were just thrilled at experiencing the closeness of God, to be seen and noticed and cared for by Jesus. Because this miraculous healing, that's a very Jesus thing, as Peter would say. But so is abundant love, radical inclusion, sharing really, really good news. Those are all Jesus things too. In this little passage, Jesus says, let's go to the next town. Let's go and see more people so I can keep preaching, because this is why I have come. The healing that Jesus does in his ministry and on his travels is a gift, and it's absolutely a sign to people that something different is happening here. This isn't just any ordinary preacher. But Jesus' words and his message, they're equally powerful and equally life-changing to everyone. You could almost look at it like the miracles and physical healings that Jesus performed are symbolic of the bigger miracle that he was bringing about for us all, and also of the soul deep healing that we're all invited to when we come face to face with Jesus. Many of us go through life feeling sick, whether physically or mentally, and many of us at different points in our life hit a spot where we feel like we don't fit in. But even in the midst of this, Jesus does love us. And his message tells us that we have a place in his eternal family, and that gives us a lot of hope, I think, on those dark days. So there is a lot to chew on in this passage. And as I've been chewing on it this week, a couple of things have kind of risen to the surface for me. I wonder what rises to the surface of this passage for you. And I just wanted to finish up today by sharing with you three of the main things that this passage has reminded me of. They're not the only three. There's a lot in here, and there's many little quirks of the passage that we didn't discuss, lots of fascinating things if you want to go and study it even more. But these were three things that I just found really encouraging, particularly in light of some of the conversations we had at the GCI Ignite. First thing is that Jesus came to be with us and he showed us who God was, who God is in the flesh. When Mark sets up his story, his blockbuster, and he introduces us to Jesus, we know immediately who he is, that he's the son of this voice booming from the heavens. But what we're also getting to see is who that voice is. We're getting to know who God is because Jesus came to represent that in a way that we could comprehend, because we can't make our way up to the heavens on our own. There's no stairway to heaven that we can actually climb. So God came to us. He didn't want us to be lonely and isolated from him. He came to us. He came to be with us. We might say Emmanuel at Christmas time, and that's what that means. He came to be with us. He wants to be with us. He wants to be with you. And the second thing that this passage then reminded me of is that Jesus came to be with us as a human. We're never alone in our humanity, because Jesus shares this with us as well. Not just theoretically, but literally. He came to be with us, not just as God, but as a human too. And I know that's really hard to comprehend, but it's this beautiful truth that gives us so much hope, because Jesus knows what it's like to be hungry, to be sweaty, to be tired. He knows what it feels like to bump your funny bone or to get sunburned or to be really tired. He knows what it feels like to laugh and laugh until your sides hurt. He knows what it's like to have a family and friends and to live in community, because he chose to do this all with us, to be part of our humanity. And in doing so, we get to take on a little part of his divinity as well. Even in this story that we read, did you notice the bit where Jesus goes off alone to pray? Jesus knows what it's like to pray to God as a human on earth. And he knows what it's like to share life with God in the eternal Trinity relationship. And again, because he comes to earth and he prays to God like a human, we can share in his prayers. Like Iris said earlier, we can actually share in Jesus' faith, because our own will often, you know, will not be enough. But we share in Jesus because he came to us. And the final thing that really was encouraging and stood out to me in this passage is that Jesus came to us willingly to be with those who were considered the lowest and the least in society. And in Jesus' time, this included women and children who didn't really have a role in public life, sick people, mentally ill people, people who were possessed by demons, even lepers who were, you know, physically ill, but also the community shunned them and they couldn't be part of normal society, literally outcasts. All of these people and many, many more, Jesus saw them. He noticed them. He touched them and he often healed them. And in this interaction, he might make them physically whole, mentally whole, but he also gave them a way back into broader community. He gave them a taste of relationship. Being sick can be a really lonely time for you and for the people who love you. And Jesus came and he saw these people and he spent time with them. And usually through these interactions, their lives are completely changed, not just physically, but emotionally and spiritually as well. Jesus always had time for lonely people, the sick and rejected, the socially unacceptable, the lost and the seeking, the unwanted, broken, sad people. Just as Jesus had time for the self-important, successful, average, nice, well-meaning people. Jesus had time for everyone. But as you read the stories of his life, it is a very Jesus thing for him to take special care of the people that others would pass by. He didn't come and start his ministry, as Mark tells the story, by healing kings and celebrities. He started his ministry by healing whoever he met, no matter who they were. And this should give us hope, because there's not one of us and not one of our dearest friends and not one of our worst enemies who is beyond the notice and love and attention of Jesus. There's no second of our lives that he is not with us and loving us, and there's no second of eternity that we will ever be without him. So that's a lot to contemplate for Sunday morning, or at least it is for me. But I've appreciated the chance to remember some of these things and see them even through a really supposedly simple story, a little snippet of Jesus' life. And of course, he went on to do so much more, so many other things. So in the times when we do feel particularly lonely or isolated or afraid or exhausted, this message, what we've talked about this morning, it might not feel very real. It might be hard to believe and to know. And so today, my prayer for you, for all of us, is that we can know and trust in this reality, that God will show us his true and trustworthy presence, and that his spirit will comfort us because Jesus always sees us. Amen. And now I'm going to swing the screen around to Matt so we can do communion.